On today's show, I'm speaking to Sarah Thornley, who's a great inspiration to many women who want to follow their passions into later life. We discussed how she didn't let age deter her from competing in and actually winning the National Stand-Up Paddleboarding Championships in the UK when she was in her 60s. We also talked about how life can change dramatically once your children have grown up. Sarah's taken on so many new roles, including broadcasting live from paddleboarding events. But before we get started, can I ask that you give us a follow on your podcast app or Instagram? Now let's get on with the podcast. Welcome to Retirement Rebel Life After 60. I'm your host, Siobhan Daniels. Join me on a journey to meet inspiring rebels who've redefined retirement. Together, we'll explore new passions, triumphs over challenges, and discover the vibrant possibilities of life after 60. This is about living boldly, not just aging. So are you ready to rebel? Last week, I spoke to Helen Garlick, an author in her 60s, who's all about the power of talking and connection. Her award-winning book, No Place to Lie, about the death of her sibling, has reaffirmed to her that age is a privilege. If you haven't already listened to it, I urge you to give it a listen. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Siobhan. Thank you so much for having me. This is really exciting. I'm excited for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, I was just determined to have a platform where women in the 60s could talk about and celebrate being in our 60s. And you just sprang to mind because I've spoken to you, a couple of years ago now when I did a few Instagram lives, didn't I?
Yes, you did. And I think it's a great, you've got a great platform. And yeah, bring on those women of a certain age.
Well, because we are often just referred to as women over 50 or over 55, and we're in our 60s, and we should be celebrating that, shouldn't we?
We should really be celebrating whatever age we are. But as you say, to have that sort of cutoff point of once you reach, you know, 55, that you're just this mass of an age, and we're not. You look at sports people or anybody in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, more these days. Every age should be celebrated. So
quite right. Well, thank you. Well, we'll get on to that. But first of all, just tell me a little bit about yourself, your background. Where did you grow up? Were you a sporty child? How did you get into being more sporty as you got older?
Well, I was born in Guildford, Surrey, so I still live very locally. So it's my hometown and I still love it to bits. My father still lived in the house that we were brought up in. I was a very sporty child. I mean, I'm built for sport and I just let that disappear later on in life. Very sporty as a young kid, played soccer and cricket with the boys, just loved it. Loved being with the boys. And then when I got to be a teenager, I kept up skiing, but I just sort of drifted, you know, typical teenager, want to do other things. So didn't really get into any sport particularly, which is a great shame. I then met my first husband. I then got married and I then had children. And I just really didn't do, I do admire all these mummies today with all, you know, out running with their babies and everything. I just went a little bit in on myself.
Do you find a lot of women do forget themselves when they become parents?
Definitely, yes. As far as I was concerned, I think it's a bit of a cliche, but I was just mummy. And, you know, your husband calls you mummy. Go and ask mummy. You just become a mummy. And don't get me wrong, I absolutely loved that job. I was very blessed to be able to stay at home, look after my children, bring them up as we wanted to do. And I feel very blessed that I could do that. But you do just lose yourself a little bit. And I think these days, women appear to be out, they just drag their babies anywhere. And I love it. I love that you see women dragging their babies, you know, around the world or onto the football pitch or whatever. It's not what I did. No.
But I think when I was a mum, I was a single mum for many years. I did put what I wanted to do in my life on the back burner out of choice. I thoroughly enjoyed, like you said, being a mum. But I did lose myself. And the beauty now in my 60s, I'm genuinely rediscovering so many things that I'm doing now that I wanted to do, the traveling, even simple things like lying down and looking at the clouds in the sky. I used to do that a lot when I was younger, and I stopped doing it for over 40 years. Now I'm that mad woman when you're walking through the park that's lying on the grass, just staring up at the clouds, but I'm living and I'm loving it. So you had your children, you went on, you got divorced then, didn't you?
Yes, I had my children, brought them up. They were sort of both teenagers. My daughter had just been, you know, on her gap year and everything. And I, don't get me wrong, again, I had a very lovely, lucky marriage, you know, loved my husband. But I had changed. I had, looking back on it, I feel I morphed into his world rather than me keep my identity anyway. He was much more mature than, not in age, but in the way he, his mannerisms, he's much more mature, quite conservative. And I was this sort of free-spirited, quite artistic girl when I was sort of 16, 17, 18. And I sort of just, again, happily morphed into his more grown-up world. Loved it at the time. But again, children grew up and I just thought, where am I? You know, who am I? And yeah,
you want to repurpose, don't you?
Absolutely. And I knew that I just thought I've got to go because I was deeply, deeply unhappy and I sort of suppressed it all. I didn't really speak to any friends about it because I knew that if I voiced it, it would suddenly be quite real, which I guess would be quite a scary thing. So I just kept it very, very quiet and just thought that when my son was finished with schooling that I would just go. And I just thought, I don't care where I go, what I have, I just know that I'll be much happier even on my own.
That's a bit like me, really. I knew when I headed off, I didn't know where I was going, what I was going to do. I was on my own, but I knew I would be happier. And that's a great feeling, is it, when you're searching for your happy place?
Absolutely. You know, in retrospect, when I did go, I had a lot of friends who were saying, oh, that was, you know, such a brave thing to do, to leave the security of your home, you know, your children, your partner, your quite a lifelong partner, I guess. And I just thought, I don't feel brave at all. I just know I've got to get out. I've got to get out. I've got to rediscover myself and go and do all the silly things that I don't feel I've done for many, many years. Anthony came along, my hairdresser, things, you know, things that I didn't ever think I would do, I did. I had a very brief affair with him. It wasn't in the grand scheme of things. But I then just suddenly, from almost 1 month to sort of 3 or 4 months later, I was gone from the home, you know, the family home. It was a big shock to, you know, not only my children, but my husband as well, because I obviously kept it very suppressed. But I was gone. I was, you know, lucky enough to be able to go and find my own home, you know, not too far away from where they were. Left the children. They just both, you know, wanted me to go because that's what they thought I wanted. It was quite a tough few months.
That must have been difficult. That must have been very difficult to actually leave your children. And were you judged at the time, do you think, by people for doing that?
Absolutely. And some of those older friendships, I don't think I probably got back. One or two who just thought, A, to have an affair, you know, it's something that I never thought I would do because it just sounds so wrong. It's just, you know, when you've got children and a husband, it's not really where you want to go, but it just happened and you can't take away that heart feeling of attraction and love, you know, what's turned out into love. He's now my husband of, you know, X amount of years. So there was a deep connection there and it just happened and you don't really have any control over it. But it was a tough time, especially with the children saying, okay, mummy, you want to go, off you go. And, you know, I ran very fast forward in my head, what will happen when they get married? Will I be able to come to their wedding? What if they have children? Will I be able to see their children? You have this sort of crazy head that goes on that you instantly worry is what will the future hold? But the future holds for me much better than that because my children were brought up well between me and my husband and they came around really quickly and they absolutely adore Anthony and they're just both very sort of grounded, pretty amazing kids actually.
Do you think a lot of women stay in relationships, unhappy relationships, because they feel they'll be judged in society and because they feel that they've lost a sense of who they are and what they want in life? And you were lucky to be able to take that leap of faith.
I think so. I think a lot of women, and I know personally people who have stayed, I know, you know, I got those friends. And I think that's incredibly sad, knowing what has happened to me since I left and how I've grown and blossomed and you know, always feel like this is the best time of my life. I think that's really sad. But, you know, you might not have the opportunities. You might not have the opportunities financially. You know, it would be quite a scary place to go to just leave the security of your home and just go into the wilderness. You know, that would be quite scary. So financially, emotionally, they might not be able to feel that they're strong enough to do it. You know, that is a big leap, isn't it? To just leap out of that security and go. But to me, my happiness was much more important.
Yeah, that, I mean, it is. It is courageous to do. But like you, I just thought I had no option. I needed to find my happiness and I went off. And people say to me, I was brave. And I say, no, life made me brave because I was so rock bottom. I needed to go. And traveling around Great Britain in my motorhome for nearly 5 years now has given me that sense of identity and freedom and confidence and inner warrior. And I'm hoping by talking to women like you, we're going to help other women find their sense of courage and brave, be brave and fearless. Now, when did things begin changing in your life? I mean, what were your 50s like when you were going through the menopause? Was that a difficult time for you? Was that a time of change for you?
Do you know, I have no recollection of the menopause. And I only recently spoke to my doctor about it. I know. I think my mother was the same, actually. She unfortunately...
A lot of women are.
Yeah. And I think, you know, stereotypically, you believe that you're going to go through these things at certain ages. And clearly, it doesn't happen like that. I don't remember that at all. And maybe that's because I was with Anthony. I was with a new love. I was finding a new sport and passion. And maybe I just... Maybe it just didn't register with me that is what would happen. So... The 50s for me were an amazing time, apart from having my children, being married the first time and all that that brings, you know, that's joyous, isn't it, when you go through that. But for me, this has been, I guess it's just been quite life-changing and life-affirming, and I found my voice, and I just absolutely love what I do. And so I think the 50s has been fab for me.
You found your sport, you said there, you found your passion. And that's what I'm all about. As people age, it doesn't mean that you forget things. You can actually rediscover things or find your passions. Tell me about what happened with you and how you discovered SUP and how old you were when it happened. Because you're still rediscovering aspects of it now, aren't you, in your 60s?
Oh, yeah. So I found stand-up paddleboarding. A good friend of mine was doing it and I was very intrigued by it. Because I just hadn't been sporty. I've been to the gym all the time. That was something that I did on a regular basis. So that's what I loved. I loved sort of strength work. But I didn't have a sport. I rode for 5 years with my daughter. That was lovely, but that then passed. And I was watching a friend. I was just intrigued. So I went and had a go, had a lesson, and loved it. Absolutely loved it.
How old were you at this time?
So I was 52. Anthony and I got married, having been together for, you know, a few years. We decided to get married. We went to Dahab in Egypt, and I tried it again, and I just loved it. I just felt that it was, you know, that I'd sort of clicked with it. Winter came, and obviously, being a newbie, I just thought, why on earth would people want to paddle in the winter? It looks grim. So I didn't paddle in the winter. But then at that Christmas, so just having been married for 3 months, I had a really serious stomach issue. I didn't know what it was, but it turned out to be a twisted colon, which I've now found out that it, you know, can be very life-threatening. People do die of a twisted colon. Had a life-saving operation a couple of days before Christmas. Spent my first Christmas as a newlywed with my second husband, separated in the hospital. They all came around my, you know, hospital bed on Christmas Day. And obviously, things like that make you go, right, we need to get on with our life now because life's too short.
And it shows you how quickly things can be taken away from you, doesn't it? So you need to live life to the full.
Yeah, I could have just gone just like that. Haven't really done a great deal, I guess, for myself during my life. That's sort of how I felt. Nothing really personal to me. So I just thought, right, when I'm fit, I'm going to get my feet back on that paddleboard and see if I really love it. And it took about 3 months, and I finally, maybe it was a little bit longer, but I finally sort of, you know, put my feet on that paddleboard. And as soon as I put them on there, I thought, yes, this is for me. So I just started, while I was sort of recuperating, I started paddling. And later that year, I actually entered a competition. It was just, it was the national championships, a team event. So off I went with my lovely club, who are all my good sort of paddling buddies, and I still paddle with them now. They're fabulous. So we we just went along as a team. And I just paddled. I had some tuition from my friend and she said, do this, do that and whatever. I was just on an inflatable board, but I just loved it. And I sort of realized how competitive I am. I won a medal unexpectedly, but it was for an age category. And I didn't even realize that they had such a thing. I thought you just got first, second, third. You know, if I hadn't have got that age category prize, maybe it was just all the youngsters that got the prize because they were the fastest, perhaps. It may not have meant so much to me, but the fact is I got a prize because of my age and I felt delighted.
Were you one of the oldest people paddleboarding then? Did you feel that you were too old to do it, or did you feel that it was exceptional that you were that age doing it?
I didn't feel too old to do it. I'd never really felt my age. So I was just one of the numbers, basically. But when I stood on the podium with another couple of ladies who were older than me, I just thought, oh, this is pretty cool to win a prize at this age. It's sort of really good recognition of you being able to do something against other people in your age category, which is sort of 10-year age category. And I thought it was really, cool to win that.
Because it's also, as you get older, and when you're in your 50s and 60s and 70s, and you don't think necessarily of competing in things, you think, well, you've passed your prime, leave it to the young people. And I think it's great to see more and more categories, older categories in various sports being celebrated.
Absolutely. And we do have within the, especially the GB Sub National Series, which is our sort of homegrown national series, we do have age categories. We have up to sort of 39, then up to 49, up to 59 and beyond. And I would love to get them to a beyond. I mean, if I went racing again, I could be racing at 70. You know, I could be getting that gong, you know, which would be amazing.
That would be fabulous. But like you just mentioned there, though, it kind of goes 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond. And we're all corralled into this kind of 50 plus. One of the main reasons why I started this podcast, I wanted women in their 60s to sort of talk about, celebrate the highs and lows of being in our 60s. And it's important, isn't it, that we see the numbers 60 and 70 and that there are maybe those categories. Although we all age differently, we're all individual, but the something to nice to be in the gang of the people that are in the 60s, I feel.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right. And it's interesting how people think about it. Some people say, oh, I'll never do age categories. Why would I want to do that? And then when they reach that age and they realise that they cannot maybe compete against the 20-year-olds, they might think about it. And I think it's great. There was a wonderful lady I met called Barbara from the United States, and I went up to watch the VAR championships, the world championships held at Eton Dorney this last year. And that is like outrigger canoe, so think Hawaii 5-0. And she was 80-something.
Oh, brilliant.
And she had pushed. They're very good at recognising all age categories in that discipline because it's got such history. And she was pushing for there to be an 80-plus category. And she got it. She got it. She was amazing.
Oh, I absolutely love women like that. That's what we need. We need to celebrate more women. And there are loads of us out there doing unique things and trying to be pioneering and champion for older women. And what I find interesting is that it's almost like you have to think, oh, I can't compete anymore. But when you see these categories, there's a lot of women that want to keep competing, aren't there? There are a lot of entrants for the various sports in those 60s, 70s, 80s. So there is a call for it. I don't know why we don't do more.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's the practicalities of giving out so many medals because it can be very time consuming. I've been there when they've been giving out, you know, age categories for, you know, 14-foot, 12-foot six, inflatable. And then they've got all, you know, 5 age categories. It takes forever. But, you know, equally, and I'm going to blow my own trumpet a little bit here. So when I did win the national championship, so I raced for 5 years and just slowly got better and better. I was doing many, many races. I was doing running, cycling. So I was really fit, fitter than I'd ever been, actually, in my life. I won the UK national championships, but I didn't win it in my age category. I won it overall. So I did actually beat. So at 58, I beat the youngsters. And again, at that time, I was just very pleased to have won it. I was competitive. I was really trying very hard to win it. I won it.
That is amazing.
Yeah, I think it was actually. It's only later on that I thought, oh, actually, that was pretty good. because it wasn't just an age category thing. I actually won the whole thing. And don't get me wrong, there weren't hundreds of competitors in that field, but I won it against some really tough, tough women who I'd wanted to beat. You know, there was one, Christine, and she was just ruling the roost of that particular class. And between us, you know, we had a bit of luck. She had a bit of bad luck, and I beat her. And I never, ever thought that that would happen.
Did you ever face any ageism in the sport? Did you ever get people almost looking at you and dismissing you? Oh, well, we'll beat her because she's, you know, nearly 60.
No, I don't believe I did, or certainly I didn't recognise it. Someone said to me late last year on the beach, and it was a young man, and I was talking about, and I'm not sure this is ageism, but it was an interesting comment, and I have to repeat it. I was talking about when I won and, you know, the fact that I had won. And he said, oh, but there was no one who was any good at that time. And I was quite horrified by that. And I thought, oh, that's actually quite rude. That's quite rude to me. And that's very rude to the other people who were racing at that time, because they were amazing, you know. And it almost sort of...
No, that is very rude.
Bit naughty. Bit of a young upstart. And I won't give his name out.
Did you feel that you were flying the flag for the older woman at that time? Or were you just being you competing in a sport?
I was just being me competing in a sport. As I said, I didn't really see myself as any age in particular. But it's only now when I look back and I think, oh, I really wish, in a way, I really wish I'd appreciated that at that time, because I would have been all over that on social media and really flying the flag for women who are getting older and competing. And now, you know, thanks to a good friend of mine who's really sort of poked me and, you know, sort of made me appreciate what I did, I'm now quite happy and confident to tell people what I did, because I think it's quite, that is quite incredible to do that, you know, to beat not just my age category, but the youngsters as well.
Well, when I read about it, that's one of the main reasons that I wanted you to come on here, because I thought, you know, we need more examples of women that are achieving these things. When you were approaching 60 then, were you nervous about being 60? Did it bother you or not bother you at all about being 60? And did your life change at all, or your attitude change once you hit your 60s?
I've always tried not to let any age birthday affect me. And in our house and in our previous homes and, you know, parents and children, we've always said it's just another day. Try to make, like Christmas, don't get worked up about Christmas Day. If you can't see someone, it's just another day. And that's how I've sort of been about my age. But I do remember feeling slightly twitchy about being 60, but not in a big way, because, you know, I was still doing things, having started up Sup Junkie and having been writing, you know, for magazines and just appearing on podcasts like yourselves and talking to Joe and just thinking it's better now. It's always getting better. So why should I be worried about getting older? You know, I'm nearly knocking on 65 now, so that'll be the next sort of little twitchy moment. But I just think as long as you're healthy and fit, and I'm probably my least healthy actually at the moment. Yeah, I need to get off my backside and do some exercise and whatever. But tried never to let it worry me. And that is quite freeing, isn't it?
Yeah, I find it very liberating. I find the more I'm getting into my 60s, like you, I'll be 65 next. The more I've got my voice and my confidence and my inner warrior, and the more I'm learning so much more in life. I seem to be absorbing so much more. My life was too frenetic before to really take note of what was going on. And I love my 60s. And to get the message out there to other women that it can be a vibrant, positive time is wonderful, I think. Now, you said there about sort of starting Sup Magazine and writing, you just sort of glided past that. I mean, that was a big thing. When did you do that and how did that come about?
Well, it started really with Sup Junkie, which was a thing. I didn't know what the thing was. I gave up racing and I just was asked to help on the GB Sup events team. I raced with them for 5 years. They knew who I was. They knew that I was friendly. I could be a friendly face.
What, you raced with the GB team?
No, not with the GB team. It's called GB Sup. So it's just, yeah.
Oh, right. Sorry.
No, I wasn't that good enough. Actually saying that, I could have done. I could have done, but I didn't. But I raced with the sort of the national series of Great Britain. So it's all the local races. I then went to help on their events team, and it was just being a friendly face. But then on the first race, so that was 2018, I started, and the guy who was running it started doing a live feed, which we'd never had in this country, to cover stand-up paddleboarding. And I happened to be on the boat taking photographs, which I love doing as well. And he just asked me to sort of hop in and out of the live feed, and I absolutely loved it. And then he said to me, oh, go off and do some interviews and go and chat to people. I was like, what are you talking about? What do you mean interviews? What's all that about? So I just went and spoke to people and recorded it. And then the next race, he didn't want me to be on the live feed. And I was like, oh, well, I quite wanted to be on the live feed. And then after that, he was a race director and he just got too busy. And he said, you start doing that. So I just started thinking about, a couple of friends said to me, you should make this something, you know. I guess they were thinking, you know, a little media company or anything. I was just like, I just couldn't get my head around what it should be. But she was pushing for us to help. There was a really big world championships coming to London, and she was slightly involved in it. And she was really pushing me to be picked up by them to help cover it in the UK. That didn't happen, but it meant that we were going to go and we were going to talk to them and we were going to just go. We just launched Sup Junkie, which was literally launching a website. I think I had a website then. I can't remember. Gosh, certainly had a Facebook page, had the T-shirts.
So what is Sup Junkie? Sup Junkie, is it a magazine?
Sup Junkie is just basically all of my love being put into a community page, community whatever it is. It's not a project or anything. It's just basically me sharing my love of stand-up paddleboard, racing in particular, and now moving on to adventures and spreading the love, basically. So that's what I do. So I will share stuff for people. I will support stuff for people. We then obviously started doing the live feeds. We do interviews now. And that's what it is. But it's all done completely voluntary, just because I absolutely am obsessed with Sup racing and adventure and the people involved with it. I love to share good stories, and I'll always help people who are supporting others. So if someone's doing a fundraiser, I'll support them. So it's just basically my obsessional love with the stand-up paddleboarding world. We did go to that event in London and we did cover it, and we did 32 interviews. We didn't really know what we were doing. We just ran in with our little mic and just went and spoke to people, and I can talk and I can ask questions, and I knew who these people were because I'd been following them for 5 years. You know, when you love a sport, you generally follow the people who are at the top of their game, and they were all very happy to be interviewed. So it did sort of get us out there a little bit.
I'm just going to interrupt for a moment to shamelessly plug my book, Retirement Rebel. It's published by Vertebrate Publishers, and it's my honest account of feeling broken in my 50s and finding my happy place in my mid-60s. I got rid of my home and possessions and hit the road in my motorhome for a roller coaster ride along life's adventures. I want it to help younger women not to fear aging and older women to grab life and run with it. You can purchase a copy in most bookstores and on Amazon. Right, now back to the conversation. What would you say to anybody that's fearful of maybe embarking on a new adventure or a new sport and almost self-limiting to themselves, saying, I'm too old to do that. I couldn't possibly do that. Nobody would be interested in that. Because those were all the thoughts that went through my head when I got my motorhome and I went out there and I thought, I want to be a pro-age campaigner. I want to challenge ageist attitudes and stereotypes. And then I thought, who the heck's going to be interested? But you have to start somewhere with a certain sense of belief, don't you? What would you say to people? Because you've done it. You had an idea. You've run with it. And now it's successful.
I think there is that saying, isn't there, that people often won't try like a new sport or try something new because they don't feel they know it. But that's true. You don't know it. Just go in to anything that you love, be it a sport or something that you're passionate about, and don't believe that you know everything. You know, you don't. You're learning, and embrace that learning. I think that's what I would say, because I didn't know anything. I didn't know media, I didn't know writing, I didn't know journalism. I have no experience in that world at all, but I just loved the sport so much, and I can talk about it, and I'm quite knowledgeable. And I just thought, what can go wrong? These people are lovely and they want to talk. And a couple of times I had to be pushed, go and speak to him. And I thought, oh gosh, she's like, you know, number one in the world. what can possibly go wrong? And I'm a great believer in just ask. What can someone say? They can either say yes or they can say no. And if they say no, you respect that, you back off. If they say yes, you're in there.
Facing your fears and doing that and approaching people and then getting them saying yes is exhilarating, isn't it?
It is, but it shouldn't be made to be such a big thing. We are, you know, if you strip us down to our naked bodies, we are all pretty much the same. And there's that great quote, isn't there, about, you know, if you're speaking to a group of people out in front of you, just imagine them all naked. We're all the same. You know, they're not. I also believe that no one is better than me. No one is worse than me. We're all pretty much on a level playing field. I've never really been intimidated by people. And I think that is quite a good thing because I don't want to be intimidated by people. They're just people. And generally people are lovely and kind and nice. And if they're not, they won't be in my world. I just say, go for it.
I kind of think I was very nervous and intimidated. The thing is, I sound confident and I've got a very confident sounding voice. So people just assume that I'm confident. And I kind of played a role a lot. I was a nurse for 9 years and I worked on intensive care. So I'd adopt this role when people sadly would come in and see their relatives on a ventilator, and I tried to sound confident to explain to them what was going on. And then for years when I worked at the BBC, I sort of had this role of, hi, I'm Siobhan from the BBC, and played the role. When I went out there on my own to try and get my message and to approach magazines to see if I could get my story out there or be interviewed, I really did feel intimidated. I had to sort of find my inner warrior and think, like you've just said now, we're all the same when you strip us down. And I do feel that the more I've gone on in my 60s, the more like you, I've got that confidence now to just approach people. I do it nicely and I'm kind. And if they say yes, I do, I'm so thrilled. And if they say no, I think, well, that's fine. Just move on to the next person. But I have had to face fears and talk to myself and say, don't be silly, Siobhan, go and ask. Because if you don't ask, you'll never be able to do it.
I think you're, you know, what you did, Siobhan, is pretty amazing. And I think if I gave up everything and drove off in a motorhome, I'd probably have exactly the same fears as you. It's a huge, huge thing to be able to do it. And obviously you've got used to it and you're used to that life now, and that's made you more confident. But I think we've got to appreciate that the older we get, generally, the more confident we become. You know, I used to see older people, like much older people, a bit like my father, you know, they'll just say anything like, oh, you can't say that. That sounds quite rude. But actually, they're just speaking their mind. They're fed up with pussyfooting around, with being, you know, I don't know, they're just honest. And that is the joy, isn't it, of getting older. You can just be honest with people. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, I don't want to go to that party, but I don't know what to say. And I just say you don't want to go. That's all you have to say. You don't have to give an excuse. You just have to say, I don't want to go. And hopefully that friend or person will just respect that and go, they don't want to come. They don't have to give me an excuse. No is a complete sentence. That's another one of my favourite quotes. No is a complete sentence.
Oh, I like that. You've got another quote that I liked. I can't remember what it was now when I was... what you think of me is none of my business.
None of my business.
Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I really don't... I mean, obviously I want people to like me. I want people to like what I do. And the majority of them do. There are one or two who just can't get their head around it. That's fine. I'm not their friend. But what people think of me really is not any of my business. I don't want it to get in my head. I just want me to just be able to live my life by just being me and just doing what I want to do. Life really is too short to be not wanting to do what you want to do. Don't let other people's thoughts of you and their perceptions of you stop you doing what you really, really want to do. It's your life, you know.
I think there are situations in life, though, where people self-limit themselves and stop themselves from doing things. But do you think that society in general is ageist, and it is people, even though they get more confident when they get older, the way that the perceptions of how you age stops you from being able to age the way that you want?
Definitely. Definitely. We've all seen the photographs, haven't we, of the 50, 60 plus, the little line drawings of the little wizened old lady at 60 plus. We're all horrified because that's really not not how we look anymore. So I do believe, I mean, we are getting there, aren't we? We are getting there with, you know, models. What I love to see is a model of shape, size, colour, age, anything. She can be a model. It doesn't have to be, you know, that stereotypical anymore. Hopeful that those things are changing, but I still think we have a little way to go.
Do you think we have to re-educate ourselves about what it means to be old? And try and grasp the positives of being old. I mean, I constantly say, when I hear people say, oh, I'm young at heart, I know exactly what they're trying to relay by saying that. But I have to be careful how I say it because my daughter rolls her eyes when I start doing this. But I say, no, I'm not young at heart. I'm old at heart. I'm old. And I don't need to add in a young to say I feel good. Old can be good too. You know, I'm old at heart. And we feel, you know, or I don't look younger than I am. You know, I just, what you're trying to say is I look good. You know, I am old. This is what 64 looks like.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, because we do want to say we're young at heart. I think my age is just... it's just almost nothing. My age is nothing. So, but I love that. I love that you're old at heart. I think that's a really lovely sort of positive way to look at it, really, because we don't, you and I, we really don't want to be the bland skin, you know, 20-year-old. We don't want to be that person anymore.
No.
I don't want to look like that person anymore. And I don't want to be that person anymore because who I am now is actually the best version of myself. So I think that's really lovely. I'm gonna use that. Thank you, Siobhan. Old at
Good.
Heart.
Good. And that's what I think. I think when we're talking to each other and we're having discussions like this, and hopefully somebody listening to this podcast will think, yeah, I'm going to start saying that, old at heart. And the more it'll just permeate into the way that we talk. You know, it's like that when people say, oh, you look good for your age. Just knock off the for your age, please. Just say you look good because it doesn't matter how old. It's because they've got preconceived ideas of how they think somebody who's 64 looks or behaves. And I think gradually people like you and I and all the amazing women that I'm going to be talking to on this podcast will be able to just shake it up a bit and get us to think differently. And maybe, you know, when people say, can you wear this at 60-odd? Can you do this at 60-odd? We can just show by example that we're doing it regardless of what anybody thinks and what society thinks. And we're not the only ones doing it. There's an awful lot of us doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe when I say that I won my national championship at age 58, I won't say anything more. That's it. I won.
Yeah.
Not, you know, yeah, I was quite old when I won it. No, I just won it.
No, but you could also, I was old when I won it. Not I was old and it's like
a
something
negative
to have been old when you did it. It's just, you know, I was old and I won the national championships. And it's showing people that, you know, we're doing things when we're old. We're doing the normal things when we're old. We're not, yes, if your body's letting you down or if you don't have enough money to do the kind of long adventures that you want to do, there's all things that get in the way. But predominantly, we're living life the best way that we can. And that's what, as a pro-age campaigner, and by doing this podcast, I'm trying to do is say, let's age as positively as we can. Let's have our adventures. Let's not self-limit. Let's find out what's out there for us getting old. And you're a great example of that. You've gone and you just keep finding more and more things to do.
I'm too sure. I need to claw away at all the lovely things that I'm doing. And yes, it has got better. And maybe, you know, there are limitations, aren't there, Siobhan, at any age? You know, you could be limited by the fact that you're 20 because you don't have that spare cash. You don't have the time. You might be in a relationship or be having babies. You won't have that. So there are limitations all throughout our life, but they seem to be all being lumped at the, you know, at the end or 50, 55 plus, suddenly you've got all these limitations. Actually, we might not. We might have a bit of spare cash. We might have more time, you know, because I went traveling for the first time around the world, 6 months backpacking when I was 50. You know, I'd never been before. I'd never done that. I went to Bali. I went to Thailand, Australia, New Zealand, and it probably meant much more to me then than it would have done if I was 18. because I wasn't drunk every
night.
You're
talking from my hymn sheet. That's exactly what I did as I was approaching 60. I took a gap year from work. My daughter went off to university. I'd had years of being a single mother looking after her. So I thought, right, this is my time. And I packed a rucksack and headed off around the world. I went to Thailand. Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, Vietnam, Australia, New Zealand, Fiji, and then went over to South America and did Brazil, Argentina, Bolivia and Peru, and then came back and went to work again.
Amazing.
But it does open your eyes to adventures. So you did it about the same time as me, and now we're doing adventures. But what would you say to anybody, you know, approaching 60 or in their 60s? What are the highlights of being in your 60s? I know we don't talk about sort of necessarily age, but I want to highlight being in your 60s, the positives of it.
Oh, gosh. It's a great question. Just be yourself. And I think you will be growing into being yourself anyway, because at this age, you do generally find that you can just be more honest. It's like you're being freed up. You can be more honest. You can be outspoken, as long as you're kind. But you can just be truthful. You can just be truthful about life. Again, about how you feel, about how you are. You know, when you're a bit younger, you might not want to let people know how you are feeling deeply. But now I can absolutely share my emotions with whoever's around, actually, be they male or female. I'm not sobbing all the time, but you know, you have that freedom to just express yourself. I just think embrace going into this age, because it is a wonderful, wonderful journey. And it's been, you know, it is my best time, my 50s, 60s, and long may it carry on, because I'm having a ball. I'm doing things that I never, ever did as a young person. And how would it have been different if I'd done these things as a young person? I'm not sure it would have. Well, I probably would have hopefully built this massive business, but would that have been great? Because again, what I'm doing now, I can let it go at any time again. And that's that freedom, because it's not my job. It's just something that I love. You could just stop tomorrow, couldn't you, if you really wanted to? And again, that's lovely.
Yeah, that's what I love about this, is that I choose to do this. And I choose to do this to try and help other women find the joy in life that I've found in my 60s. But if you were talking to your younger self about being in your 60s, would you have thought that your 60s would be like they are now when you were younger? And what advice would you give to a younger person?
I don't think I thought my 60s would be like this at all. I thought I would be happier because I was out of my first marriage, and I was quite, you know, as I said earlier, I was quite deeply unhappy there. So I think I thought I'd be happier. I think I thought I'd be probably living down by the sea. I didn't realize I'd find a sport, and that it would take me on this journey, and that I'd be at my fittest that I'd ever been. So I think I'd be telling my 20 something, you know, hang on, girl, it's going to be good. It's going to be a good ride later on. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Don't believe that you're going to be on a downward spiral, because I think these days we're all going to be on an upward spiral, and we're going to find things that we love and we enjoy. And I think be ready for the ride, 55, 60 plus, definitely.
Oh, I love that. Be ready for the ride, 60 plus. I love that. I'm going to use that. Now, I ask all my guests one question at the end of the podcast. And as a retirement rebel, I've been rebellious quite a lot in my life. And now I'm really a retirement rebel is sort of what I am, an unashamedly rebellious person. And I want to ask you, when was the last time that you felt rebellious?
Well, to truly feel rebellious is probably a little while ago, and it's probably when I left my first husband and I was with Anthony, and he's a younger man, and I just did everything probably that I had never done in my teenage years. I didn't go to uni. I didn't have that experience. I literally went from, you know, my mother's bosom to my first marriage, being quite conservative, and I tried everything. You know, I smoked, I drank, I did everything possible. Very quickly realised that none of that was for me. I guess I wasn't doing it on purpose. I just did it because it's like freedom. You know, I suddenly had this freedom. But I sort of feel in a way that I'm being a rebel every day of my life, because I'm doing stuff that I never ever thought that I would be doing, and I absolutely love it all. I know that it brings a lot of joy to a lot of people, you know, me sharing all my stuff, be it all SUP related. And it's just lovely to be part of a fabulous community as well.
That's brilliant. And may you continue to be as rebellious as you can and find all the joy in life. And it's been absolutely lovely talking to you. It's been a real pleasure, Sarah. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Siobhan. It's been a real joy to talk to you, and I'm always inspired by you. So it's been a pleasure, and let's hope we can get these women feeling rebellious.
I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Sarah Thornley as much as I did. I wanted to take a moment to reflect on it and share with you what I'm going to take away from chatting with her. One thing I have learned is that sometimes we need to re-find ourselves as we age. Sarah talked about how lots of women can lose themselves in motherhood because they focus on their children, something that they want to do. But once the children are grown up, they can flounder. It's then that women need to look at what they really want out of life and then go for it. This can be so empowering for them. Sarah talked about leaving an unhappy marriage, something she knew that she had to do. And she went on to find her community and her happy place, paddleboarding. I've learned through talking to her the importance of community to help make you braver. The support seems to be invaluable. Building a community is what I hope to do with this podcast, a community of retirement rebels who all support one another so that we can bring out the best in each other and learn from each other. The response to this podcast so far has been wonderful. Women have contacted me to open up about their lives, both the good bits and the bad bits of getting older and hitting their 60s. So please do get in touch, especially if you have a great inspiring tale to tell. You can contact me via my website, retirementrebel.co.uk, so that we can connect and keep the conversations going. My mission is for women in their 60s to get their voices heard and for them to be seen. We're not going to fade into the background. Next week, I'll catch up with the wonderful Susie Grant, aka Alternative Aging, on the podcast. She talks about life in the 80s when she worked at Capital Radio. We also discussed how the death of her mother in her 60s was a wake-up call for her. Thank you so much for joining me on today's Retirement Rebel Life After 60. I'm truly grateful for your time and your willingness to embark on this journey with me. If today's conversation sparked something within you, or if you've your own rebel story to share, I'd love to hear from you. Please reach out through our social media channels or email, and let's keep the conversation going. Email us on podcast@retirementrebel.co.uk. And remember, if you found value in our time together today, consider sharing this episode with a friend who might also enjoy and benefit from our Retirement Rebel community. Spreading the word helps us grow and continue to challenge the narrative around life after 60. All of our details can be found on retirementrebel.co.uk. Retirement Rebel Life After 60 is written and hosted by me, Siobhan Daniels, and produced by the incredibly talented Matt Cheney. Join me again next week for another episode. Until then, keep embracing your inner rebel and living life to the fullest. Bye for now.